Thank you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of his Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Thank you. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we, who have known the mystery of that light on earth, may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
This is a reading from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of Paul to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Because there was no place for them in the end. that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bandages and cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Some 300 years after the birth of Jesus, there was a man who posed a question. It was an experiment of sorts. He wrote this question, this dilemma, down in a book. And people have been pondering this dilemma for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. This man's name was Augustine. And this was the dilemma that he posed. I want you to imagine that God offers you a deal. You can live forever. You can have all the pleasure that you want. You can have power, wealth, respect, friendship, even peace. You will never be bored, and you will never die. You can have all of this on one condition. You will never be able to see the face of God. You can live for all eternity with every pleasure you want, but you cannot look on God's face. What would you do? Which life would you choose? You see, ever since we left the Garden of Eden, there has been only one way to see God's face. We must move through our cross. We must be willing to accept the fact that in this broken world in which we exist, we will suffer. We will even die. But if we move through that and offer it all up to God, we can see God's face. But there's one terrible problem. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to die. We will do everything that we can to be comfortable, to pretend we're in control of our lives. Whenever there's pain, we want to run and hide. Over 10 years ago, my father-in-law, who was a Methodist minister and who I loved, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I was so scared for him. I don't really know how scared he was, but I was scared. I wanted to take away his pain, but I didn't know how to do it. I remember so well being in a hotel room with him, my mother-in-law, my husband, and I. He was about to undergo some radical chemotherapy treatment, and he needed to shave his head because his hair was all going to fall out anyway. So my husband and he walked into the bathroom. The father sat down in front of the mirror, and his son stood behind him. My father-in-law took off his shirt, and his son took off his shirt. "Son, what are you doing?" my father-in-law asked. "Dad, I can't fix this. I can't make it go away. But I can be there with you. So give me that razor," my husband said. And he shaved off all of his hair with his dad. The world is in such a fragile state. Egypt is burning. Syria is suffering. There is starvation and deprivation all over this planet. People are talking about a financial cliff. And I'm overwhelmed by how many homeless are right outside the doors of this church. But I would say that up until a week ago, none of that really frightened us. It all seemed kind of far away, or maybe it wouldn't happen, or maybe it had to do with people more unfortunate than ourselves. But then last week, a young man walked into an elementary school and shot children. And you can see their faces, the little blonde girl with the beautiful smile, the disabled boy, teachers and counselors and the principal, and mental health professionals are trying to understand how this young man could have done such violence. What kind of a mental illness could cause such insanity? And I talked to a mental health professional, and he said, "There's just no way to get there. There is no way to explain that kind of evil. There is no diagnosis. It is just a horror. And he looks like one of us. And he could have lived down the street from any one of us in our country, in our neighborhood. And we're afraid. Don't you know that Mary was terrified that night? How could she not have been? Scholars say that she was 13 or 14 years old. Can you imagine? She had never had a child before, but I'm sure that Mary had heard stories about women having babies, and back then a lot of the women died. That was very common. I can just picture her as she felt the pains coming. I bet she longed for home, for a place that felt familiar, something to comfort her. But she was in a place that she had never been to before, in a land of her husband's ancestry, in Bethlehem. And as the pain got more and more, she didn't even know where to go. The Middle East back then was not so different than it is today. It was about to erupt with violence. King Herod was so paranoid about a Jewish Messiah that he would shortly begin to kill children. Mary brought that baby into this crazy, messy world, the same broken world that we live in today. And oh yes, she was scared. She was human, just like you and me. Any human being who is half awake sometimes gets scared. Because if you really, really look up at those stars, you realize that you don't know why exactly you're here, and you have no idea when you're going to die, but it will happen. And so most of us numb ourselves. And one of the greatest ways that we numb ourselves is by staying really busy. Because then we can think about what we have to do next, rather than who we are and what we're doing here. And so we rush around, pretending that we're in control of our lives, when really we live on this fragile planet that is teetering between good and evil. And we do not know what will happen tomorrow. No matter how much we save up or plan, we do not know what will happen tomorrow. When my little boys were really small, when they were babies and they would cry, I would run into their room. And I couldn't make the darkness go away. I couldn't make the night go away. But I could hold them. I could stay with them. Don't you realize that that's what Jesus was doing? God sent his Son not to fix the world, because we need to do that, but just to be here with us. Not to make the darkness go away, but to give us the courage so that we can begin to serve the light and to carry that light into the world. And Mary's fear did not have the last word, did it? She must have been terrified, but nevertheless, she found a place and she brought Christ into this world. And fear does not have to have the last word with any of us. Let it knock on your door. Sure, be afraid, be scared. I am. But never let your fear have the last word. Mary didn't. My father-in-law didn't let fear have the last word as he shaved his head that day. And even in Newtown, Connecticut, I don't believe that fear had the last word. Because the church bells did ring, and people all over the world prayed. And Jesus, I know that he walked into that school. Do you want to see the face of God? I sure do. There's only one way, though. Look at that baby in the manger tonight. Look at him. And keep watching as he grows up. Follow in his footsteps. Do as he did. Be willing to move through pain and not run away from it. Be willing to die when it is your time, knowing that he will come for you. And then you will see his face. You will. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for the people of Newtown, Connecticut, and the people of this nation as we grieve. We also pray for the people of Egypt, Syria, and the Sudan. We pray for the church in Jerusalem. Pray for peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed, especially for William Hill and Jacob George. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own dead.
Father in heaven, give us strength and courage to bring Christ into this broken world. This we ask in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad that you're here today. It's just wonderful to have you with us. If you're new or visiting, we have a card in your pew that you can fill out, and we will send you our e-newsletter so you can find out what's going on around here. Tomorrow, there is a service on Christmas Day at 10:30 in the morning, and we'd love to have you join us for that. Also, on New Year's Eve, please join us here at the cathedral. What a great way to usher in the new year. We have a festival of 9 lessons and carols with our beautiful choir that night. We'd love to have you join us at 5 o'clock. And also, we are selling tickets after this service for an opera. The opera will be performed on January 6th, which is Epiphany. That is traditionally the day in which the wise men, or the wise guys, as our youth call them, arrived at the manger. That evening at 3 and 6, we will be doing the opera Amal and the Night Visitors, about a little crippled boy who is visited by the wise men in the middle of the night and the miracle that occurs there. So please buy tickets right after this service. And I want to welcome you all to come up for communion. If you're a baptized Christian, hold out your hands for the bread and you can guide the cup to your lips. If you are from another tradition or not sure what you believe, cross your arms and we'll give you a blessing. And that can't hurt, right? So everybody can come up. We'd love to have you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
acclaim you, Holy Lord, glorious in power. Your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help, so that in seeking you, we might find you. Again and again, you called us into covenant with you, and through the prophets, you taught us to hope for salvation. Father, you loved the world so much that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to be our Savior, incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He lived as one of us, yet without sin. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation, to prisoners, freedom, to the sorrowful, joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, to complete his work in the world and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you, from the gifts you have given us, this bread and this cup. We praise you and we bless you.
We praise you.
Lord, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be holy gifts for your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your one holy Catholic and apostolic church redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. And grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God and Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May God, who in the Word made flesh, joined heaven to earth and earth to heaven, give you his peace and favor. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.